Well, welcome to week four of a series that we are in called The Lies We Believe. The Lies We Believe. And as we start this morning, I have to throw this disclaimer out there. Because the truth is that this message, probably more than any other message in this series, might be the most challenging and kind of radical and in-your-face message that we're going to do in this series. And if I'm being totally transparent with you this morning, I've felt a little bit of apprehension this week. And I don't know if it was fear. I don't know if it was our enemy Satan trying to get me not to preach this message. But there was a little part of me that was really wrestling with how to present the content and the information that we're going to go over here this morning. See, the fact of the matter is this, is that I love you guys. I really do. And when you love somebody, you speak the truth to them. And sometimes the truth is really hard to speak, and sometimes it's really, really, really difficult to hear. But one of our core values around here, I don't know if you know this, we have five core values. One of those core values is to speak truth. And the reason that's one of our core values is because we believe Jesus gave us one command in this life as followers of him. We are to love others as he loved us, John 13:34. And so that's a command, that's something that we take very seriously around here. And I think in the world that we live in the culture that we live in, things have gotten very mixed up and confused. Like when you speak the truth to somebody nowadays, it's almost like you're looked at as being intolerant. See, I would say it's the complete opposite of that. When you have something, when you have information that you believe will change someone's life for all time, for eternity, and you do not share that with them, now granted, it's got to be done in love, it's got to be done in humility, but when you do not speak the truth to people, you are not helping them. Basically, what you're saying is, I have this amazing truth, this thing that will help you, and I'm not going to share it with you, so I don't really care about you. I don't love you at all. And what I want you to know this morning is this, as we kind of dive into this very difficult topic this morning, is that I love you, and the reason I love you is because Jesus loved me first, and he commanded me to love you. The reason that we're going to speak the truth this morning is because of that love. And I am personally, I don't know where you're at with Jesus. You might be on the fence still about this whole thing, but I am so thankful that Jesus spoke truth into my life, that there were people in my life along the way who spoke truth into mine, because it has made my life so much better. It has. And so this week, we're going to dive into part four, week four of this series, The Lies We Believe. Now, if you missed the last couple of weeks of this series, I want to encourage you. We have a podcast. You can grab those messages on there that's available on pretty much every platform that podcasts are available. You can listen to those throughout the week. If you miss a week, I would encourage you to catch up on those. But if you did miss those, I want to just give a really quick Cliff Notes version of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks. We've been unpacking some lies that our enemy wants to tell us to diminish our lives, to cut us down, to add weight to our lives. And in the very first week, we looked at this lie that says we are valuable because of what we do. It's just not true. We're not valuable because of what we do. We're valuable because of whose we are. And what Satan is really trying to do in that moment is he's trying to confuse our identity. He does not want us to believe that we are a child of the king. He does not want us to believe that we are loved no matter what. And so he uses that lie to confuse us. In week two, we talked about something really, really challenging. That God can't be loving or good because there's evil in the world. Again, nothing could be further from the truth. And again, what Satan is trying to do in that moment, he's trying to get you to doubt God's love for you. He's trying to get you to believe the lie that just because bad things happen, God couldn't possibly be good. Again, if you missed that message, I want to encourage you, go and listen to that one. It's powerful. God's love for you is so powerful. And then last week, we talked about this idea that if I just had fill in the blank, then I would be happy. Then I would finally be happy. And what Satan is trying to do in that moment, that lie, the heart of that is he wants to steal our joy. He doesn't want us to be happy. He wants us to be miserable. In fact, he wants us to be destroyed. And so he weaves that lie in there, makes us chase after things that we would never chase after, constantly seeking new pleasures just so that we can find that happiness, and we'll never find it there. But this week, we're going to tackle a new lie. And this lie is really centered around diminishing our impact. You see, our enemy does not want us to have influence in this world for good. He does not want us to have impact in this world for good. What he wants more than anything, even for Jesus' followers, is to kick back and relax and soak up the grace that God has given us, but never actually go out and share that love and share that grace with anybody else. Because the more we do that, the more the world is changed. That's what I absolutely believe. And so here's the lie this morning. I can follow Jesus without being all in. I can follow Jesus without being all in. Now that word or that phrase all in, that's a poker term. That's how it's most often used, right? You're playing poker, you got all your chips, and you decide, you know what? I think I've got a really good hand here. I'm going to take all those chips, I'm going to push them to the middle of the table, and I'm going to go all in. Why? Because I believe that I can win. Really, all that phrase means, to go all in, means that I am fully invested in this thing. I am fully devoted to this move right here, to this thing. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of things in this life that we're all in on. And there are a lot of things in this life that we're not all in on. Like, for instance, I am all in on autumn. Not the season. I'm more of a spring guy. My wife, Autumn, I'm all in on her. She is smart. She is sassy. She is smoking. I'm all in on her. And 13 years ago, when I stood before another preacher and said I do, I meant it for all time. I'm all in on her. I'm all in, much to my dismay most weeks, I'm all in on the Oakland Raiders. That's my favorite football team. I'm not a Steeler guy, okay? I'm sorry, Pittsburgh folks. They stink. The Raiders stink. They're so bad. They're bad every year. But that's my team. I'm all in on them no matter what happens. I'm all in on bacon. I'm all in on scallops wrapped in bacon. Actually, I'm all in on any meat wrapped in bacon. I'm all in on that, right? It's delicious. I don't care how many studies come out that say bacon will cause an early death. I'm all in on it. It's too good not to be. Right? I'm all in on those things. And there are some things in your life that you're all in on, I'm sure. Some things that I am not all in on. Steelers fans, I got really bad news for you. They ain't winning the Super Bowl this year. I'm not all in on that. Like, it's not happening. I'm not against them. I'm not saying I wish it wouldn't. It's not going to happen. I'm just saying the writing's on the wall. I'm not pushing all my chips in on that bet. It's probably not happening. Right? I am not all in on any piece of exercise equipment being sold on the Home Shopping Network. How many pieces of exercise equipment have been sold on the Home Shopping Network in the history of the Home Shopping Network? I don't know. I just know it's a lot. And that means that they're constantly having to come up with new things because they can't keep selling them, right? I'm not all in on that. Here's what else I'm not all in on. Single stuffed Oreos. Here's why. Nabisco, I'm not sure where their heads are at, but they came up with the perfect Oreo when they made the double stuffed Oreo, right? And yet they're still selling the single stuffed Oreo. I don't understand this. I believe, I'm not a prophet, I believe there's going to come a day when the single stuffed Oreo will be no more. They won't exist anymore. They're just not even gonna keep trying. They even tried, Oreo tried this. They tried to do the mega stuffed. Have you ever seen this? It's like the double stuffed wasn't enough. Let's go triple stuffed. Cream and cookie. Okay, the ratio is off. That's all I'm going to say. The ratio is off on the cookie. The double stuffed is the perfect stuffed Oreo. So I'm out on single stuffed, right? There are things that we are all in on, and there are things that we are not all in on. And those are silly little illustrations, but there are certain things in this life. Let's be honest now. Let's get real for a second. There's things in this life that we should be all in on. We should be all in on relationships, our spouses, friends, family members, coworkers. I believe those are things we should be all in on. There are certain causes that we should probably be all in on, things that really matter, things that are going to make a difference in this world. And I believe this with all my heart, that the most important cause, the most important relationship that we could ever be all in this life is Jesus. And I don't know where you're at this morning. I don't know where you're at with God. I don't know where you're at with this whole idea of Christ, Jesus Christ. But I'm here this morning to plead with you to go all in on him. And the reason I'm pleading with you to go all in on him is because I believe there's nothing in this life more worthy of going all in on. And as we begin to go all in on him, I believe he will do some things, he will change some things in our life that will make our lives exponentially better. It may not seem like it at first, but Jesus makes everything better. He doesn't make your life perfect. Doesn't mean you won't ever face trials or circumstances or situations, but he allows you to walk through those situations and those circumstances in a totally different way, with a totally different perspective. And so this morning, here's what I want to do. I want to take just a couple of minutes, and I want to talk about what that really means, because I know what some of you are thinking. What does it mean to be all in on Jesus? I mean, I thought I already was all in. And you know what? Maybe you are. But I want to unpack this a little bit. I want to dig a little bit deeper into this idea of what does it really mean to be fully committed to following Jesus in our lives. And what I believe is that as we leave this place, if we will have a true understanding of that, it may take our faith, it may take our relationship with Jesus, it may take our influence and our impact in this world to a whole different level that we've never experienced before. And honestly, guys, that's what I want for us. As a faith community, as a bunch of people getting together to try to learn about Jesus and make impact in this world, that's what I want. I want for us to be out in our community changing the world. And I don't believe that happens unless we are all in. And so here's the question I want to start with. Because the reality is, to go all in means that there's risk involved. There's some risk that has to be taken. When I go all in, it means I'm either going to win everything or I'm going to lose everything. There's really no in between. And so here's the question I have for you. Am I willing to lose everything for the chance to win everything? Am I willing to give up some things so that I can gain some things? See, the lie is I can follow Jesus without being all in, but the truth is that the only way to truly win is to go all in. That's it. What does it mean to win? It means to have victory. Jesus wants to give us victory in this life. We will not fully receive it. We will not fully gain it until we are willing to go all in. And so this morning, we're going to look at a text, a passage of scripture from your Bibles. I encourage you, if you don't have a Bible, get one. If you don't know where to get one, we actually have some out in our lobby. We would love to put a Bible in your hand to help you begin, start reading that. We'll come alongside of you and show you where to start. You can get it on your phone. It's a beautiful time we live in. There's apps that you can get. YouVersion is a great Bible app. You can grab that on your phone. I encourage you to be reading that throughout the week. But this morning, we're going to be in Matthew. And we talked about this last week because this is where we were a week ago. We were in Matthew. Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. You've got the Old Testament, the New Testament. It's the first book, and it's the first of four Gospels about the life and ministry of Jesus. That's where we're going to be at today. And in this particular passage that we're going to be reading, just for some context, we find Jesus doing what Jesus pretty much did his entire ministry. He's traveling from town to town. He's preaching the good news. He's telling people about who he is and how they can have a better life. He's doing miracles. He's doing all kinds of amazing stuff. And he's drawn a crowd. There are people following him everywhere he goes. And I'm not just talking about like 10 or 15. I mean, we're talking thousands of people following him around. And what Jesus understood about people is that a lot of times people follow for the wrong reason. And so he's got this huge crowd of people, and some of them are in it for the right reasons, and some of them are not. See, some of them are following Jesus because they just want to see another sign. They want to see another miracle. They want to see Jesus do another trick. They want to hear Jesus say something really radical or profound. But many of them, that's all they're really in it for. See, there's actually this word called a disciple. And when we think of disciples, we think of the 12 disciples, like the main guys who followed Jesus around. But the truth is this, Jesus had hundreds and thousands of disciples, or so-called disciples, that would follow him around. And so in this moment, this text that we're going to check out here this morning, we find Jesus about ready to make a statement to some of those people who are just kind of following Jesus around for the show. They're like groupies, basically. Like, Jesus is a band, he's on his world tour, they're following him around. But that's really all they are. They're fans. And so this is what Jesus launches into. Let's read this together. It says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. So let's stop there. So Jesus says that he is the king and that one day he is going to actually come back to establish his kingdom. See, we're in this like waiting period right now. We're in this in-between time. Like the kingdom is right now, but it's not yet. Jesus says he's going to come back at some point. And when he comes back, he is going to separate, he uses this analogy of a shepherd separating sheep from goats. Now, in our culture, this is a really strange analogy, metaphor, whatever you want to call it. Right? I don't know about you. I don't know any shepherds. Maybe you do. Maybe that's your world. I don't know any shepherds. Right? But back then, back when Jesus was walking around, they were everywhere. This was a primary position for people to hold. Tons of people taking care of livestock, right? And the shepherd's job was one thing and one thing only. Take care of the sheep. That's the shepherd's role. You're to take care of the flock. Take care of the sheep. Make sure that nothing happens to them. If a wolf or a lion or a tiger or a bear, oh my, comes to take one of those sheep, you fight them off. You take care of them. If those sheep need water, if they need something to drink, you take them to the water. If they need something to eat, you find a nice, lush, green field for them to eat in. You take care of your sheep. That's what you do when you're a shepherd. And here's the thing we need to understand about sheep and goats, because there's this second animal thrown in there. We got sheep and we got goats. Back then, you see, we live in a time where sheep have actually been bred to be more sheep-like. I don't know how else to explain it. Like, to have more wool on them, to be able to produce more of what man wants, which is clothing, right? But back then, sheep and goats, they were nearly indistinguishable except for one thing. Sheep were followers. If the shepherd said, let's go this way, they just followed him along. That's my sheep sound. I don't know. If the goats were around, they had a different mindset. The goats didn't follow. The goats had a mind of their own. They did their own thing. The sheep might be following the shepherd, and the goats are like over here doing their own thing, eating the grass they want to eat, drinking the water they want to drink, getting in fights with each other, doing things they're not supposed to do. So it was much more difficult to get the goats to follow, even though they looked exactly the same for the most part. And so what is Jesus? Okay, let's get back to the text. What's Jesus trying to get at here? He's saying, I am the shepherd, and you and me and all of us, we are the sheep and the goats. And some of us are sheep and some of us are goats. Some of us are following, and we are willing to go with the shepherd. We are willing to go with Jesus wherever he goes, wherever he leads us. And some of us, and I'll be honest with you, sometimes I'm a sheep, and I think sometimes I'm a goat. Some of us are like, I'm not sure I want to follow that guy. I'm not sure I'm all in on going wherever he wants me to go and doing whatever he asks me to do. I'm not sure. I kind of want to do my own thing, really. I mean, at the end of the day, I don't want to follow somebody else. I got my own plan for how to do this whole thing called life. And what Jesus is looking at these disciples who have been following him around for who knows how long, some of them years. He's looking at them and saying, you've got to make a choice here. Because when I come back, I'm looking for those who are truly following me. I'm looking for the sheep. And those of us who are goats, consistently goats, he drops the gauntlet here. I mean, this is hard to hear. What does he say? He says, I'm going to separate the sheep from the goats. And the sheep are going to get this amazing, incredible inheritance. And the goats, you're going to be out of luck. If you're not willing to go all in with me, this is what Jesus is saying. If you're not willing to go all in, there's a reward and there's a consequence for doing that or not doing that. And so the question becomes, how do we know if we're a sheep or a goat? Because sometimes I feel like both. I mean, as a pastor, I feel like that sometimes. Like, yeah, a lot of times I do what I'm supposed to do. A lot of times I'm all in on following you, Jesus. But then there's days where I'm just like, no, I want to do my own thing. How do we know? This is what Jesus says. Let's go on to that next one there. Here we go. You will know that someone is all in by this. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Next one, there we go. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. You know, the reality is this, and I need you to hear this today. That you are not saved by what you do. You're not. You are saved by one thing and one thing only. By putting your hope and your trust and all of your faith into Christ alone as your Savior. We cannot save ourselves. We need His grace and we need His mercy because we can never be perfect. We can't. And so if that's the case, as I read that and as you read that, you might be asking the same question that I've asked lots of times in my life. If I can't be saved by what I do, why is he challenging me so hard right here to do certain things? And if I don't do them, what is he saying? He's saying, I'm going to be thrown into an eternal fire? That's hard to take. Don't miss this morning. We will never be able to earn or work our way to salvation. But there is evidence of someone who's really following Christ. And what he's talking about right here, he's talking about the evidence. This is not what saves you. This is the evidence that you have been saved, that you have made a decision to follow Jesus as your Lord. You have made him king of your life, and therefore there is now fruit. There's fruit, right? A fruit tree that does not bear any fruit might as well not be a fruit tree. And so this is what Jesus is saying. What separates the followers from the fakes is fruit. This is how I will know. Jesus says, when I come back, when I finally return, I will know that you are really my follower by the fruit that you are producing in your life. This is hard. I don't know where you're at right now. Maybe you've been following Jesus your entire life, pretty much. Maybe you're on the fence about this morning. But this is a mic drop kind of challenge and moment here. Because what Jesus is looking at us and saying is this: if you want to go all in with me on this whole thing, there are some things that I am going to challenge you to do. There are some expectations, and the expectations are incredibly high. It won't be easy. But if you are willing to push the chips in, it will be so very worth it. It'll be so worth it. And so here's the challenge this morning. It's really simple. No matter where you're at on that spectrum, go all in. Would you be willing to take a chance? Would you be willing to take a risk to go all in on this Jesus thing? And here's what I want you to hear this morning. This is what going all in doesn't mean. This is first and foremost, this is so important. What going all in on Jesus does not mean is that you now have to be perfect. Because you're not going to be. You're never going to be perfect. You're always going to mess up. I'm always going to mess up. There's still going to be days when I'm a goat and not a sheep. But we need to more consistently seek to do what Jesus actually commands us to do. It also does not mean that if you do all of these things that you are saved, because you can take care of the poor and you can feed the hungry and you can give someone that's thirsty a drink and you can go visit someone in prison. And guess what? If you haven't committed to saying, yes, Jesus, you are Lord, you are my Savior, and you are the only way that I can be saved today, none of those things matter. Remember, they are the evidence of a decision that you've made, because out of the heart flows everything. Every work that we do, it's something that comes from the heart. Every decision that we make, every word that we speak, every action that we take, it comes from here first. So that's what going all in doesn't mean. What does it mean? If it doesn't mean I have to be perfect, if it doesn't save me, here's what it means. We have to take the words of Jesus seriously. All of them, not just some of them. We have to take the words of Jesus seriously. If we really believe that he is our Lord and he is our King and he is our shepherd, and we're going to actually follow him, we have to follow him wherever he asks us to go. And this is where it gets really tough. See, Jesus, some of his words, as you read the Bible, and those of you that don't read it much, I'll encourage you to read it more. As you get more and more into what Jesus said, he says some radical stuff that is so countercultural to the world that we live in. How about this one? Love your enemies. You see, my question is, I got neighbors I don't even like. How do I love them? That's a really difficult, difficult challenge. Love my enemies? I don't even like them, let alone love them. But I would argue this. If I'm not willing to at least try to somewhat consistently love the people that I don't like, whether it's a family member, a coworker, whoever it might be, if I'm not at least willing to make the effort, I think I have to question in my own life whether or not I'm really all in on Jesus. That's what he commanded us to do. We have to love our enemies. Imagine how the world would change if we began to do that. Jesus also says that you should turn the other cheek when somebody slaps you on one side. So like somebody slaps you, your face goes this way, right? And then you turn it back. Go ahead and slap me on the other cheek. That's some radical stuff. Because again, I don't know about you. If somebody slaps me on the cheek like that, my first instinct is not to turn the other cheek. My first instinct is to pop them back in the face. Right? That's what we want to do in our humanity. Jesus looks at us and says, no. I have a higher standard. I have a higher calling because I want people's lives to be changed. Will you begin to do that? Love your enemies. How about this one? Don't repay evil for evil. When somebody does something wrong to you, what's your first instinct? I know what mine is. Get them back. Get revenge. Don't forgive that person. Jesus looks at us and says, if you really want to be all in on this, you have to begin to forgive those who do things to you that are wrong. Yes, it's wrong. Doesn't make it right. But you still have to forgive them. That's hard. That's the demand of a follower. That's the call of being a sheep and not a goat. How about this one? Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Oh. Jesus literally carried his cross to his death. One of the most painful deaths that a human being can experience. He's challenging me to pick up my own cross, to deny my selfish nature and what I want, and to follow him to the ends of the earth wherever he asks me to go. That's a hard one. How about this one? You cannot serve God and money. Oh, now we're really getting up in people's grill. Don't talk to me about my money. That's mine. I earned that. It's my money. This is maybe the hardest one for me on this entire list. Because I like my money in my bank account. And yet here's what God's been challenging me with. Justin, if your money is more important to you and using it on yourself is more important to you than using it to make a difference in the world, to change other people's lives, then I think you better start questioning whether or not you're all in on me or not, because that is what I'm calling you to. You can't love both equally. How about do not worry? That's another challenge Jesus gives us. When we're in the midst of crisis, when we're in the midst of trial and tribulation in our life, is our first instinct to just freak out? Or do we actually trust that God might be in control, that he might have our back, that he's got everything right where it needs to be, that he's going to take care of us? Justin, if you're all in, man, you can't constantly be worried about every little thing. You got to trust me. How about this one? Take care of the poor. That entire verse, Matthew 25, 31 to 43, it's about taking care of the poor. It's about taking care of the poor who are physically poor and people who are spiritually poor. Are we willing to go there to follow Jesus? So today, we're going to wrap this up. I want to talk to two groups. We do this every week. If you have put your trust and faith in Christ. If you are a follower of Jesus, and honestly, right now in this moment, for the next just couple of minutes, if you haven't, honestly, you can tune out right here for a second. I'll come back to you. But if you've put your trust and your faith in Christ, this is the high calling that he's called us to. And maybe the entire time you've been following Jesus, for you, you've really kind of been more of just like a fan. You're like one of those disciples who loves the idea of what Jesus can give you, but you're not really ready to make the sacrifice for him. And here's what I want you to hear this morning, and I'm telling you this again. I said this right at the beginning. I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm not telling you this to heap a bunch of burden and weight on you. Here's what I believe. The more we go all in on Jesus, the more we give him our life, the more he's going to give us back. Our lives will be so much better when we give him everything, because then the more I open myself up and empty myself out, the more he can fill me up with what he wants to fill me up with. He will allow us to do some things in this life, give us the strength to do things in this life that we would have never had before. And so today, here's my question to you. Would you just be an open vessel? Would you empty yourself of yourself and allow him to fill you so that he can do some things in your life? You see, I believe if you'll do that, he will make your marriage better. He will make you a better parent. He will make you a better friend. He will make you a better coach. He will make you better with your finances. He will make you better at relationships. He will help you forgive people. He will help you be healed from your brokenness. But we don't get all of that until we completely surrender to him and follow him and go wherever he asks us to go. Not only that, but you will see your influence increase in this world. See, more than anything, here's what I want. This is the place that I'm at in my life. I just want to do as much as I possibly can to increase God's kingdom. I want more people to know Jesus. I want more people to be healed from whatever it is that they're dealing with and whatever it is that they're going through right now. That's my hope and my prayer for people. And as I give Jesus the authority in my life to go wherever he wants me to go, that's when that really begins to just take off. So about, 18 months ago now, 2 years ago, Autumn and I really got serious about being foster parents. And I don't know how many of you guys know our story. I'm 36. We started trying to have kids when we were probably 27, 28 years old. And it was probably a good 5-6 year struggle of trying to conceive, figuring out what was going on, just all this stuff. And in the middle of all that, God was working in our lives and he was changing our hearts. And Autumn, this is one of the things I just love about her. She just has such a heart for people, for caring for people, for loving people. And she had always wanted to adopt, do foster care. And I was like kind of on board at the beginning, like, yeah, sure, of course, I'll do that. Like, who wouldn't want to help kids who don't have a home? What kind of a horrible person would you be, right? But in my heart, I don't know that I was really there. Like, I wasn't all in on that. And then over the years, something happened to me. Like, I wanted my own kids. I really did. And I thought, life won't be complete unless I actually have, like, my own flesh and blood right there. I want to see them. I want to see what we can produce here. Something happened along the way that I never expected. God completely changed my heart. And I got to a place where, honestly, I didn't even need to have my own kids. I can stand on this stage today and honestly say to you, I don't need to have my own children. I don't. Because a little over a year ago, we did the foster care thing. And we have a little boy living with us now. And hopefully one day we're going to adopt him. And I'm telling you this to say this. Not to say, oh, look at me, look how great of a Christian Justin is because he's fostering kids. That's not for everybody. I'm telling you that because I wouldn't be doing it if I wasn't all in on Jesus. If I didn't really truly believe in the words he was challenging me to take to heart. And this is why I'm saying this to you. There's some cause out there that you could be involved in. Maybe it's fostering kids. Maybe it's adopting. I don't know, whatever it is for you that God has put on your heart. And I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you. If you are a follower of Jesus, make a move. Go all in on that thing. See how God might use you to change the world. One simple action step today. Go all in on something for Christ. Be selfless. Make a sacrifice. And he won't just do something amazing out in the world. He'll do something amazing in you. Just being a foster parent has completely changed my life. It's given me a new perspective on brokenness and hurt and where people come from. It's made me more empathetic. I mean, it's just so many things that I would have not have experienced if I didn't do it. Okay. That's the Jesus followers. Now, for those who are still kind of trying to figure this whole thing out, maybe the question you're asking is this: why should I go all in on Jesus? Why? Here's why. John 10:11. This is what he says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Because he is the good shepherd, and he loves you. And he did lay down his life for you so that you could have a new life and a better life. That's why you should go all in on him. Because the only way to win is to go all in. Whether you're a follower now and you just need to take that next step in your faith journey to go a little bit deeper with him, or whether you just need to begin with a decision today to start following him. And once you begin to follow him, I promise you this, he'll change everything. And maybe today you decide, you know what, that's not for me, Justin. I'm not going to make that decision today. Can I just plead with you? Can you just keep coming back? Can you just keep coming back and hearing about Jesus? Because I believe if you will listen to that message over and over again, if you will make an effort, make an attempt to just know him more, to be in relationship with him, eventually, this is what I believe, he'll win you over. His love and his grace and his mercy and his truth, it will win you over. That's my hope and my prayer for you if you don't believe today. That this would be a place where you can come with your questions and your doubts and your fears and everything that you believe about church, and this is going to be a safe place where you can work out your stuff with Jesus. And we're going to try to help you as much as we can. Yeah, we're going to speak the truth, and sometimes it's going to be hard. And today was kind of a hard truth. But I promise you that it is worth it. Father, we thank you and we praise you that you have called us to a high standard, that you have called us to a standard of excellence. And Jesus, I thank you that even though it's difficult, that through it you will change us and you will make our lives better. I pray that you would help us to see that. Help us not to believe the lie that we can go through this life and just kind of do it haphazardly as a follower. That you have called us to be more than that, to make a difference, to make an impact. We have an opportunity to do that every single day because of you. Jesus, I ask if there's anybody in this room today who's still on the fence, that they would know that you are the good shepherd, that you love them, and that putting their faith and their trust in you, even though it feels like the biggest risk, it's actually not. Going all in on you, it's like having a royal flush. It's a guaranteed victory that nothing else in this life will bring them. I pray that over this place this morning. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.